Merry Christmas, friends. My name's Brian Carlucci. I'm one of the pastors here at Cornerstone, and I want to welcome you to our Christmas Eve service. Special welcome to our guests, our out-of-town guests. We're glad that you get to be here with your loved ones, and we enjoy having you here at our Christmas Eve service. If you're a guest and you live in the area, special welcome to you as well. We would love to see you again after the first of the year, and just want to mention a couple things. This is a special night. We have our kids with us. Kids, are any kids in the room? Raise your hand. Give us a shout out. Hey, we just want you to know this is a church that cares about young people. And one of the best reasons to get involved in a church throughout the year is because of what takes place in the lives of young people. And so we have a number of things here at Cornerstone that are for different stages of life, whether it's our elementary kids, our middle school, high school, or even our college age. This is a place that comes around kids during a tough time to be a human and helps make life a little better for them. So we just want you to know about that. If you're ever interested in those programs, you can go to our website and find out about it, but it's a great place for kids to grow up. I also want to mention for our community that we will not be meeting next Sunday. Okay, that's New Year's Eve, we will not be meeting. The next time we will be together after today will be January 7th. And lastly, one thing that we do here at Cornerstone, it's one of our favorite traditions in the month of December, is we give away Advent gifts. We support some of our partners around the world that are caring for the poor and doing amazing work. And we love telling you about it because it's your year-end giving that allows us to give these generous contributions to these organizations. And tonight we're talking about our partnership in Uganda. And you can see just the life behind me of all the things taking place there. But Uganda is a special place. We've been working there for 10 years. We've been building fresh water wells, working to build homes for homeless widows. But the majority of our work is focused around a school that did not exist 10 years ago. And today, hundreds of kids get to go to school and just get nurtured and given a future. And your Advent gift this year is going towards building a dormitory. Now, the reason that's important is for the last few years, we've been working to move that school to a place of self-sufficiency so that someday they will not be dependent on Western dollars. And we want to make sure that school continues to touch lives in that community. This dormitory is going to help move the needle 30% for this school to be able to support themselves in the years to come. So I just wanted to tell you about that. Let's give ourselves a hand for being a part of great work. That's exciting. You can find out about all of our Advent recipients on our website. Great things to find out about, great things to invest in. All right, I do have a message tonight, a short one. And I want to start by just drawing our attention to the fact that 2.5 billion people in the next 24 hours, we'll gather together in a setting kind of like this to remember and celebrate a miracle, which seems very, very strange in the secular age we live in. People gather together to celebrate a birth and a life that can't be explained through natural laws. Frederick Buechner, in his book, The Alphabet of Grace, said, "A miracle is when the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. A miracle is when 1 + 1 = 1,000. C.S. Lewis, in his essay called Miracles, he said, "I use the word miracle to mean an interference with nature by supernatural power." Now, I really don't think it's worth our time tonight for me to try to explain the Christmas story and make it sound less powerful and less spiritual and less miraculous than it actually was. Because it was all of those things, despite our modern judgments of things like miracles and spiritual power. It was all of those things. And you will never understand the Christmas story without faith, because faith allows us to see things that we normally would not see. It allows us to see the spiritual, the powerful, the miraculous taking place around us and in us. And so this Christmas Eve, I'd like to talk to you about faith and your own personal faith. You know, there's a lot of people in this room, I think most of us, if not everyone, there are times throughout the year that we get a sense to ourselves that there's more to life than just what we see right in front of us. It's hard to describe, we don't know what it is, but we know that there's more meaning to life than just living and dying. We know there's more purpose than just winning and losing. There's a part of us that cries out, that says, hey, we are more than just flesh and blood, but we are people with souls and spirits. And there are times that we have a hard time explaining, but we know that there's more than just the obvious things in front of us. We were made for love and joy and connection and beauty. You know, faith does not have to be the last resort for desperate people, although it is. I don't know if you've ever been with someone when they're dying, but faith is one of the great comforts. But faith is a gift right now because it allows us to see what we could not otherwise see. It allows us to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. Here at Cornerstone, we like to call it God's big story. Tonight, I want to show you two surprising moments from the Christmas story that birthed faith in a young man and a young woman. And I want to talk about Mary and Joseph, and I want you to see tonight a faith that comes out of our questions, out of our questioning, and a faith that comes out of our tears. And hopefully you'll find something to be very familiar with your own experience. Let's start with Mary. Faith comes to Mary in her questioning, in her doubting, in her seeking, in her desire to understand more. You could use all of those words because they describe what was taking place when the news came to her that she would be given a son in a miraculous way. The story occurs in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. We're told that an angel visits Mary to give her the news. It says this: in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, that's her relative, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words, as we all would be, right? And wondered what kind of greeting that might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And the story continues. You get to verse 34, and she begins to ask her questions. "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you," which is a picture of being engulfed by a cloud or something like that, "so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." So it's easy to understand why this would be an unsettling experience. It was uninvited. The whole thing was unexpected for Mary. Mary probably wondered to herself, "Am I dreaming? Have I finally gone crazy?" Anyone ever say that to themselves? Just, "I think it happened. It's happened. I've lost my mind. After all, I'm speaking to an angel." But the hardest thing is to accept is not the messenger, but it's the actual message that comes from the messenger. Am I really going to be a mother? Am I really going to be his mother, speaking of the Son of God? Notice how she responds, verse 34, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" She's just asking a question. But then you get to verse 38 and something quickly happens. Her questioning faith matures and it's now in a place of surrendered faith. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. It's an amazing story of a young girl's faith. Now, this occurs in the middle of chapter 1 of Luke's telling of the Christmas story, and it's in the middle of the context of certain things that are happening to the entire family. Earlier in the chapter, the angel shows up to her relative named Zechariah and basically gives Zechariah similar news, the same news. It's not quite as outlandish as Mary's news, but Zechariah is told that him and his older wife are about to have their first child. And this is hard to believe because they're of such old age. So Zechariah kind of gets the same announcement, but he responds in a very different way. Basically what Zechariah says is he says to the angel, "Prove it." This is what I would say. "I need to know more. Tell me how it's going to happen. Tell me when it's going to happen. I need the details to be sure." And what happens is God silences his voice for a few months. And it's not meant to be a punishment, but God is helping Zechariah learn a very, very important lesson. And here's the lesson. There are some things beyond your understanding. And there are certain things in your life, Zechariah, that are out of your control. What a hard lesson for people to learn, right? But life teaches us that, that we are not in control. And so all of this happens to Zechariah. Now, Mary is different. And you know, her faith is different from Zechariah. Zechariah has the kind of questioning and the doubting that has his heart and his mind closed off to new possibilities. He needs to know all the things. He needs to be in control. It's the kind of questioning that's just having him grip his life even more. Now, in contrast, Mary has a different type of questioning. Her questioning is not closed off, but she has an open heart and she has an open mind. And her questions are meant to bring understanding, not just objection. She's open to something new. She desires answers to her questions. And she doesn't need to hold on to control because Mary is humble. She's open to God doing something powerful, something spiritual, something miraculous in her life. Mary doesn't know how, she doesn't know when, but she is content just doing her part. It's amazing. This young girl has faith like that. Now, here's the mistake we can make on Christmas Eve 2023. We can consider this story, consider the passage I shared with you tonight, and we can say, faith must have been easier for Mary than it is for me. But that's really not true. Because just like Mary, we have deep set beliefs that we have to get through to see what God is doing. In a great little book by Tim Keller called Hidden Christmas, he says this to describe what we share in common with Mary, getting past our beliefs to have faith. He says, you and I have been trained by our culture to not believe in the supernatural. It's certainly true, the modern world. Mary had been trained by her culture to not believe that God could ever become a human being. So though they are different, the barriers she faced against belief in the Christmas message were every bit as big as the barriers that we are facing. And yet a combination of evidence and experience shattered those barriers, and she came to faith. That is exactly the way it works now. She doubted, she questioned, she used her reason, she used her questions just as we must today if we're going to have faith. I want you to hear this. Everyone questions, everyone doubts. You might hear a story like this and say, really? I would just encourage you, if you're that person tonight and you don't have a lot of faith, I would just encourage you that when you question, that you question with an open heart and an open mind. Because it's in that openness, even just a bit of a crack, a bit of a desire to know more, that God can speak to you. And when God speaks to you, guess what happens? He verifies the story with his voice, with his presence, with his power. By the way, Zechariah's voice is silenced. His response is not quite as good as Mary's. The good news is, because we're like Zechariah, both responses are accepted by God. He takes all of us. And both of them rejoice when the story is over. All right, so that's Mary's faith. I want to tell you a little bit about Joseph's faith. So Mary finds faith in her questioning. Joseph finds faith in a different context. He finds it in his tears. It's amazing to me that God didn't just entrust Jesus to a mother, but to a father. It's an incredible affirmation of the family. Hope you see that in the story. So a few days after Mary's conversation with the angel comes to speak to Joseph. But Joseph's in a very different place, because Joseph has just been given the devastating news that his fiance, who he has not yet been with, is pregnant. I'm sure Mary tried to explain the whole story to him. Can you imagine that scene? But he doesn't believe her. I don't know if he can't believe her or he won't believe her, but he doesn't believe her. We understand why. The only reasonable explanation is that she has cheated on him, which means that their relationship, which was so important to him, that he was structuring his whole life around this future marriage, is now over. And Joseph makes a plan to quietly divorce his fiance. It's what had to happen in that culture, and to end their engagement. It's amazing that he's thinking about caring for her. That's why he wanted to do it in quiet. He's a kind man. He's a just man. He's not trying to get even. He's even caring for the person that hurt him. It's amazing. But after Joseph came up with this plan, we're told in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, so after he came up with all this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. So imagine Joseph that night going to bed with a broken heart. This might be the worst day of his life. One of those nights you cry yourself to sleep. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And then in verse 24, it says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. It's just a small detail, but I want you to see something. When you have faith in God, you know what that does? It has you move towards other people. Like, it reconnects you in relationship and love. God just doesn't want you to have faith in him and just go live your life. It's about connecting with others. And so Joseph moves back towards Mary. He marries her. He loves her. He takes Jesus as his son. He raises Jesus. He takes responsibility for something that would cost him a lot, his pride, his dignity. But I want you to see that Joseph's faith would come out of his tears, out of his pain and his disappointment. I admit we're a long ways away from this story in more ways than one, and it can be hard to identify with it. In fact, it can be hard to identify with Mary because she just seemed so ready to believe. Like she was just in that place. It's hard to identify with Mary. But identifying with Joseph should not be a hard thing to do. Just like Joseph, we miss the powerful, the spiritual, the miraculous work of God in our lives because we are so preoccupied with our own plans and schedules and problems. It's a problem we all have in common. I want to read you a little section from a book by Ronald Rollhauser. The book is called The Shattered Lantern. Happens to be my favorite quote shared here at Cornerstone this last year, but it fits tonight. Here's what happens with our pain. Imagine taking a walk in a beautiful forest on a splendid summer's day. The earth is ablaze with the fire of God, and the sights, sounds, and smells are enough to make you take off your shoes before the burning bush. But you are painfully infatuated with someone who has just rejected you. Just insert, if it's not rejected, someone's death, your anxiety, your depression, whatever it might be. But someone who has just rejected you, you are virtually seeing nothing on this walk, not just of beauty and creation, but nothing at all. You are inside yourself, obsessed with this infatuation, torn by this pain, endlessly trying on past and future conversations, possibilities, and fantasies. He goes on to say, you are locked inside an inner world whose obsessive reality absorbs virtually all of your awareness. The outside world has little power to penetrate that or even to distract you. Reality for you has been reduced to the size, the shape, the color of your own inner world. It's so well said. We reduce life to the size of our problem. That's an opportunity for God. The problem is we don't always see what's happening, but this is what's amazing about God. In the midst of that darkness, in the midst of that being blinded to that degree, God shocks us into reality. He shakes us to faith. That's why things like that happened to Joseph usually happen as surprises to people. I mean, isn't Winter's story that you heard a few minutes ago just like that? Just asking God, but shocked as he enters into this dark moment in her life. Faith is often birthed in dark moments. It's no coincidence Jesus was born a dark night by himself under relational and spiritual darkness. It was all around him. It's been said that God whispers to us in our pleasure, but he screams to us in our pain. This is true. And so he comes to Joseph, and Joseph has faith, a faith that acts, but the faith is birthed out of his tears. So I want you to see this. Faith comes from questioning, and faith comes from our pain and our hardship. And so I just ask you tonight, as I begin to wrap up, what are you seeking tonight? Or as you come, are you open at all to God doing something new in your life? Maybe faith is a brand new thing to you, and you just come to the Christmas Eve service because you want to make your family happy. But you know that there are times throughout the year that you've wondered, is there more? And maybe even during this service, the music was amazing. It lifted our souls. Maybe you felt your spirit inside of you trying to pull you towards God in faith. I would just ask, could you be open to a God that is with you? Can your questioning, your doubting, your desire to understand more, can it remain open so that God can reveal himself to you and answer those questions? And then there are others in this room that you come into Christmas Eve and it's been a tough year. Maybe it's been a tough week. And you are still grieving the loss of something that has happened. You're still dealing with disappointment, or you're terrified of something that's going to take place in the future. Could you look up from those problems for just a moment to see a God that is also with you and does some of his greatest work in our darkest moments. The light has shined in the darkness. It's not just a promise to the world, it's a promise to each one of us when we struggle. You know, we have incredible perspective that Mary and Joseph didn't have. All they were told are the things that Jesus would do, and they had to trust God. Incredible faith. We get to look through the entire life of Jesus, the full life of Jesus, to see who he is so that we might trust him. We get to look through his teaching that clarified how to love God. We get to look through his miracles to see his power. We get to look through his kindness to see how he lifted up the poor and the oppressed. We get to look through his painful death to see more than a sacrifice, but a gift for each one of us. And we get to look through his resurrection and not just say it's a miracle, but say that is hope for me. Because of that, there's a future for me. So for the one that questions, can your heart be open tonight? And for those of you that are struggling, you are in pain, can you lift your eyes for just a moment to see the God that is with you? Let's pray together and then we'll light the candles. Father, we thank you for this night. I pray that faith would increase in all of our hearts. It's an incredible story, a miraculous story, Father. Help us see what we could not see without the eyes of faith. So give us that gift tonight. For all my friends who struggle in this way, pray their hearts might be open, their eyes might be lifted to see what you are doing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.